I had a friend years ago and we're out somewhere would say, you're not leaving a tip for the waitress. Oh, tell her to plant her potatoes early. That's a good tip. So there's a tip. Where is he, Stephen? There's a tip. Plant your potatoes early, Stephen. So I've given my tip to the postman already. Well, could we turn just briefly one verse I want to read to you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 47. Luke 1, verse 47. And Mary, and we believe this was a song, and she sang, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." Luke 1, verse 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." Let us just look briefly in prayer to the Lord. Father in heaven, as we pray, as we turn for a few moments at the close of the meeting to thy word, we pray, Lord, that thou would teach us how to sing from our heart. We thank you for the messages we've heard in song and for the congregational singing. But Lord, we pray that we'd have a song deep down in our heart that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. That joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. So bless us now as we consider the preparation for the Lord's coming. The preparation for the Advent. Do bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first service, of course, of our special Christmas services. Next Lord's Day morning, we trust you'll be able to come, the boys and girls taking part. And then next Sunday evening, a family service, then the supper. Hope you'll come and stay for the supper. And then, of course, also on the Christmas Day, if you're free. And it's the first one. I want you to think of the songs of Christmas. The songs of Christmas. Christmas is a time for songs. There's some people who don't listen to music very much during the year. But at Christmas time, they'll dig out the CD or those DVDs, and at least they'll sit down and spend a few moments anyway listening to Christmas music. Now, there's some Christmas songs, in my opinion, they're not worth listening to, sinful songs. Then, of course, there are songs in shops and in adverts encouraging us to spend. It's as if the tills were in the shop, they go, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells when you're in the shop. And for some people, you could say Christmas Day is really Commerce Day. Buy as much as you can, support the economy. And then there are others, the songs of Christmas for them are songs about the way Christmas used to be, whether reality or in their own mind. Bing Crosby, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, just like the ones we used to have." And it brings nostalgia. They could call it Sentimentality Day. And people are dreaming back to a Christmas of days gone by. It may not have been as wonderful as they think. But for many, it's Commerce Day, Sentimentality Day. But you know, for the Christian, we can go beyond that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have songs that are not necessarily totally based on Scripture. Of course, we live in the world. We can enjoy music. But as Christians, we can enjoy and experience the thrill of singing spiritual songs. In fact, we're commanded in Ephesians and Colossians to speak to yourselves in spiritual songs. And we can enjoy the songs. And how better to prepare our heart than simply tonight for a few moments to underline five songs about Christmas. Just going to mention them and say a little bit about them. We want to go and look at the original carols. The original carols. So I want you to think first of all of the singing or the singers. In Luke chapter 1, and obviously I can't turn to these verses for time, but as you go through it, and I trust you will even before Christmas Day, take the time to reread the verses were read for us and others. You'll find that first of all, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, sang a song of praise. And then you'll read that Mary sang. It's known as the Magnificat. "Because my soul doth magnify the Lord." That's how it's sometimes termed, the Magnificat of Mary. And then you'll find that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, he sang a song. And then when you turn to Luke 2, you have the angels, "Glory in the highest." And then later on in the book of Luke chapter 2, you'll find when Christ was 40 days old and he was brought as a baby, Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms and he sang a song. You say, well, it doesn't say there's songs in my Bible. Well, we do believe there's songs. The greatest commentators I think of William Hendrickson. I was checking. He said Elizabeth's words. He said, no doubt they are a song. You see, we don't see it in our beloved King James translation, and it's no fault of our translation, but if you were reading it in the original, realizing it's written in Greek, but of course they're Hebrew people, and Hebrew and Aramaic poetry is different than our poetry. It's parallelism. And there's no doubt about it, the five passages I've mentioned are Hebrew poetry. They're poems. When Mary, especially, we think of hers, hers is the best known one, she is actually reciting or making up poetry through the Holy Spirit, of course. So these are really poems or songs to be sung. There are five of them. It's interesting. Two were sung by ladies. Two were sung by men. And one was sung by angels. That's interesting. Three were sung in a family situation. It's good to sing in the home. It's good to have family worship. One was sung out in the open air, the angels. Simeon's was sung in God's house, in the temple, where the Lord was worshipped. But we're thinking here of the singers, the singers. But then I want you to notice these songs are all based on Scripture. The best hymns that we can sing are based upon the Word of God. For instance, in Mary's song, you have it there beginning in verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. I'll not go down on down it. But you know, in those 10 verses, listen, there are 15 quotes from the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? 10 verses, and there are 15 quotes from Old Testament Scripture. You know what it tells you? Mary, as a young lady, she was saturated in her mind with the Word of God. And so when the angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a child, and then she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who had been expecting for 6 months, and she tells Elizabeth, Elizabeth praises, and then Mary, she bursts into a great song, and out of her mouth comes Scripture. By the way, some of the quotes she gives are from Hannah. Remember Hannah's 1 Samuel chapter 1? She quotes directly from the Word of God. It's good when we sing to quote the Word of God. Zacharias, we'll not turn to his, but Zacharias quoted Old Testament Scripture. He sang about the prophecies and the covenant to Abraham. He spoke about prophets from the early days of Scripture. Not only did they sing the words of Scripture, but here, listen, they applied them to their situation. Mary applied it to her situation. Elizabeth applied it to her situation. So did Zacharias and Simeon. Yes, when we come to Scripture, we realize it's the Word of God. But we have to apply it to our own hearts. What does this Scripture mean to me? What does the birth of Christ mean to me? What does Christmas mean to me? I'm saying that these first five carols in the Bible, they're scriptural. And they applied the Scripture to their situation. I want you to notice also, these songs, the people who sang them were filled with the Holy Spirit as they sang. Of course, we're told that over in Ephesians, aren't we? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing to yourselves in songs. In Luke 1, verse 41, I might be going too quick for you to follow, but in Luke 1, 41, I have it here. Elizabeth, you see it? She was filled with the Spirit. In verse 67, Zacharias was filled with the Spirit. Over in chapter 2, verse 25, you have it there too about Simeon. It says at the end of the verse 25 of Luke 2, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit. See that? Holy Spirit. We ought to pray, Spirit of God, my teacher be. You know, as we prepare for Christmas, you know what you can pray right now? Lift your heart and say, Holy Spirit's a person, of course, the third person of the Trinity. He's a person. And you can ask him to open up Scripture to you and show you the Saviour. That's his ministry, to open the Scripture. He wrote it, and to show you Christ, to reveal Christ. You can pray right now, Lord, as we prepare for Christmas, and we're going to sing. We've sung tonight. Next Lord's Day, we'll sing the carols again. Lord, help me by thy Spirit to understand. So important. We're to worship in the Spirit. Now, don't confuse emotion with the Spirit. We can be emotionally moved, and we're not saying that's wrong, but we can be emotionally moved by a great concert or great orchestra. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I like that. But we can be moved emotionally, but don't confuse the emotional feeling with true worship. Now, true worship should lead to joy. But true worship, we're saying, is based on Scripture. True worship is by the Holy Spirit. We have to be so careful of that. It's not, does it make us feel good, but does it show us, and we're going to come to a moment to Christ. The singers who sang, their songs were based on Scripture. They were filled with the Holy Spirit as they sang. But they sang about the Saviour. That was the theme. The theme of their songs, and you can go through the five of them, was the Saviour. The Saviour. Zacharias's, if you look at his, verse 72 of chapter 1. Just very quickly, verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. The covenant. Talking, what was the covenant? That God would send a Saviour. The covenant. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. What oath did God swear to Abraham? Genesis 12 and 3, one of the key verses in the Bible. In thee and in thy seed, singular, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham, one of your descendants, is going to be the Redeemer who will bless people from all nations of the earth. And Zacharias is singing, he's come. Actually, he's about to come. He wasn't born yet. But Zacharias still said, he's come. The Redeemer, the promised one, the Messiah, he's come. Look at verse 36 of chapter 1. There's something very interesting here I want to mention to you. In verse 36, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also had conceived a son in her old age, 6 months. All right, Mary then goes, all right, and in verse 41, came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, that's John the Baptist, the babe leaped in her womb. Verse 42, and she spake with a loud voice, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now watch this, verse 43, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now that's amazing. When I was reading that this week, this is absolutely, that's stupendous what we've just read. Do you realize the significance? Do you know three of the songs of the carols were sung about the Saviour when he was still in his mother's womb? Before he was born. Do you realize that? And when Mary came in to see Elizabeth, John the Baptist, 6 months, 3 more months till he would be born, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. I'm not a doctor, I don't understand all these things, but I can say this. You can write across that verse, abortion is wrong. Tragically, events in America, how we ought to pray for those families and that terrible sadness of 5 and 6 year olds murdered. In no way do I want to take away from that, how we ought to continue to pray for those families. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And yet, America and Britain is unmoved when human life is murdered in the womb. It's become so acceptable today. Just a few weeks ago, I heard a man pontificating in one of these question times on television. And he said this. He said, it would solve the question of abortion if we just took the position that A baby has no human rights until it's actually born. Until it's actually born, it is not, should not be considered as human and should have no rights whatsoever. You go back to one of the first carols, that's nonsense. Three of the carols were singing praise to the unborn. And notice what Elizabeth called him, of my Lord. Not amazing. Christ was still a babe in Mary's womb, and yet Elizabeth called him my Lord. That's what a miracle incarnation is. That God the Son could come down and through the Holy Ghost be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And even before he's born, he's that holy thing, that holy one. And he's called by Elizabeth, my Lord, my Lord. What a wonderful miracle the incarnation is, the incarnation. Songs, the singers, they're based on the scripture. They sang full of the Holy Spirit. The songs were about the Saviour. Fifthly, therefore they're about our salvation. Look what Mary sang in verse 47 of chapter 1. My soul hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. He's my Saviour. She knew she needed salvation. In verse 68, Zechariah said, he's redeemed his people. Verse 71, saved from our enemies. But look at verse 77 of chapter 1. That's amazing. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Speaking of his son, John the Baptist, he's going to tell people about salvation. And then in chapter 2, Simeon, when he takes up the baby at 40 days of age and holds the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms, what does he say in chapter 2? He said this, he said, chapter 2, verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Our worship songs ought to be about the Saviour, and they ought to be about our salvation, because that's the greatest theme, that's the most important thing. We're thinking here about the carols. Why we Christians can rejoice at Christmas time and sing carols? Because our praise is based on Scripture. Our praise comes with a song that we're given when we trust in Christ, a song that wells up within us by the Holy Spirit. Our songs glorify the Saviour. Our songs concern our salvation. And therefore, it will not surprise you that these carols have to do with the sacrifice of Christ. You see, the theme of our worship, oh yes, the birth of Christ. But along with the birth of Christ, you study these five songs. Now, each of them doesn't highlight it to the same degree. But in every song, if you look carefully, it's pointing to the great work Christ did when he sacrificed himself on the cross. You go through it, I'll not turn for time. Zechariah spoke about the redemption. Do you know Simeon in chapter 2, he talked about a sword would pierce Mary. Speaking of the sorrow she'd feel when she saw her son crucified. Simeon said, this child of yours will be for the rise and falling in Israel. And how true that was, because that when Christ grew into manhood, there were those in Israel who hated him. Do you know Christ became the song of drunkards? They mocked him, they scoffed him. There were those that laughed at him and ridiculed him. There were those that said he's a drunkard. There are those that said he casts out demons by demons. He's a mental problem. That's what they said about the Saviour. Some people mocked him. People still mock the Saviour. Thinking again, going over this, how you'd, I don't think you ever hear on television the name of Muhammad or Buddha taken as a curse word, but you'll hear the name of Jesus. You'll get that when you study the songs. That's what would happen. Some would oppose him. Some would oppose him. But redemption, redemption, that's the great, wonderful truth that they sang about. There was once a family were having worship and were singing together, reading the Bible. And a little six-year-old daughter said, Daddy, did Jesus ever sing? What would you say if you're asked that by your child? Of course he did. Of course he did. We know he did. Because being a Jew, We know in Scripture he attended various Passover services, and we know that the Passover they sang Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. That's all about Christ. Prophecy, written hundreds of years ago about his death and resurrection. Of course the Saviour sang. And we have in Mark's Gospel recorded when he instituted the Lord's Supper and he went out to go to Gethsemane and go to the cross of shame and suffering when he would shed his blood and give his life as a ransom for sin. Do you know what it says? When they had sung a hymn, they went out. Psalm 118, by the way, is what he sang. And the Saviour sang before he went to the cross. He knew what was going to face him. He knew what would happen. But for the joy that was set before him. Do you know, as we sing of Calvary and the sufferings of our Saviour, that's the greatest theme of joy. I'm saying the theme ought to be, of our hymns, ought to be the sacrifice that he made. There's a carol that I love, written by a man and his wife. He was actually a teacher when I was in missionary training in America. William and Mildred Dillon. They wrote quite a few choruses. If you know that one, Safe Am I in the Hollow of His Hand, and some of their books. And he wrote a lovely carol. Do you worship the babe in the manger, but reject the Christ on the cross? Your redemption comes not by the manger, but the death of Christ on the cross. If you worship the babe in the manger, but ignore the blood of God's Son, to you Christ is only a stranger, till you trust the work he has done. And not read the rest of the verses. The songs focus on Christ's sacrifice. I don't have time to go through them. But one last thing. I'm saying the carols, the original carols, they're based on Scripture. Sung by men and women, based on Scripture. They were sung by people full of the Holy Spirit. They magnified the Saviour concerning our salvation, and therefore they focused upon the sacrificial work of Christ on the cross. And the last point is this: what songs will you sing this Christmas? What songs will you sing? I want to pick out a word, chapter 1, verse 68, redeemed. Redeemed. You see that? Zacharias cried out, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed." Oh yes, do we love to sing "Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb"? Maybe you didn't realize that was a Christmas carol when you sang that. That's what Zacharias did when Christ was still a baby in Mary's womb. He said, "Here he is, the Redeemer, redemption." What's redemption? Redemption is buying back by a price. Israel was redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. It's speaking about Christ on Calvary. We thought on Friday night at the senior citizens' dinner about the robin and the birds. Of course, one of the lovely stories about wild birds is by A.J. Gordon. He tells how when he's pastor of a church in Boston, he was walking down the street and he saw a little boy and he's holding a rusty cage and there were two wild birds in it. Two wild birds. And he looked at him. He said, "Where'd you get those birds?" There weren't any. They weren't special like larks or lovely singing birds. They were just two wild old birds. Can't remember if it was sparrows or what they were, but they weren't particularly tuneful birds. He said, "What are you doing with those, son?" He says, "Oh, I caught them. I trapped them and snared them." The snares for the birds. "What are you going to do with them?" "Oh, I'm just going to play with them and then I might feed them to an old cat." The Pastor Gordon looked at him and said, "Can I buy them?" He says, "What do you want with a? They're just old wild birds and they can't sing anyway. They're not worth anything. He'll give me a bit of fun." He said, "Well, I'll give you," in those days, this was quite a few years ago, "I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds." So he bought the cage and the birds off the boy. And then he went out off the main street into a vacant lot and he opened the cage and let the wild birds free. And next Sunday when he preached in his church, he preached on redemption. And he said, "You know, when I set those birds free, that young boy had said to me, they can't sing very well. But when those two birds flew up into the sky, it's as if I could hear them shouting, 'Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed, set free.'" And that's what makes you thrill to sing the songs to Christ and about him. When you've been set free, have you been redeemed? You know what it is to know that Christ has redeemed you by his precious blood, that he died to save you. He's taken away your sins because of what he did on the cross. Just bear with me and I'll show you one other phrase. It's in chapter 2. And it's a phrase that some people don't understand in verse 14. This is the last phrase I'll pick out of these carols. Now, we're only picking out, you could spend every day this week reading these carols and picking out phrases such as fear not and others. But just one last phrase, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. As we meet here, you think of Syria, you think of Egypt, you think of other parts of the world and you say there's little peace. How come the angels sang peace on earth? There's very little peace. Well, I started to read again this week, not the full book, but a shortened version of the story. And I'm not good at pronouncing the name of the man, but we'll just call him the Japanese man on this. He, Fashudo, or that might be it. On December the 7th, 1941, he got up at half five in the morning on the aircraft carriers of the Japanese Navy. He was the leader of over 300 planes, the greatest collection of aircraft bombers ever seen in the world's history. And they headed towards Hawaii. America wasn't in the war yet. There, people were going about getting ready for Christmas just a few weeks to go. And on Sunday, 7th of December, he was the leader. He was the top man. And he's the one that gave the order over the radio to attack. Torah, Torah, Torah. And there was over 2,000 American soldiers were killed. Boats were sank. And of course, it led to 2,403 to be exact. And that led to America going into the war. And this Japanese pilot was the commander. There was a man in America, Jake DeShazer, who, because of what he had heard about Pearl Harbor, enlisted in the Navy Air Force. Navy had their own planes off the warships or whatever, battleships, aircraft carriers, sorry, that's it, aircraft carriers. And he enlisted. And in the very first bombing raid that America did, called Operation Doolittle, yes, that was the name of it, Operation Doolittle, over Japan, the first time the American forces bombed Japan, he was shot down. Actually, it returned just over China, but Japan had occupied China. He was shot down, and for 4 years, he was kept in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, beaten, mistreated, nearly starved to death. By his own admission, he hated the Japanese. He hated their looks. He hated their language. He hated everything about them. In the prisoner of war camp, after there a year, somehow a Bible was given to the captors. The officers read it first, and then Jack had occasion to read it, and he came to know Christ there in the Japanese prisoner of war camp, and all his anger left. When he was freed at the end of the war, he went into Seattle Bible Institute. By the way, he was awarded the Purple Heart and the Distinguished Flying Medal, Purple Heart, the highest medal for honor. And he went as a missionary to Japan. People he had hated. Went to various towns. One of the towns he went to was the town that he had led the bombing raid on many years before. Let's go to another Sunday. Here was this pilot, had been the commander to bomb the Pearl Harbor. And he was going through the railway station. He was a Buddhist. And he saw a foreigner giving out pieces of paper. He went over and it was, "I was a prisoner in the Japanese war camp." And he just stuffed it in his pocket, said, "Oh, it's another." But later on he began to read it. And there was Jack's testimony of how the Lord had changed him and caused him to love the Japanese. And that he was there as a missionary in Japan. And so he searched out a Bible. And he turned up at the missionary's home. And they both knelt together and accepted Christ as their Savior. And that commander of the Japanese planes that had bombed Pearl Harbor became a close friend. And Jack and he would preach together. They did tours around America, preaching around different churches. And there's not lots of stories. I'll not go on anymore. Time is gone. Of amazing stories of how some in Pearl Harbor came to hear this man with hate in their heart and anger. And yet when they heard Fashido give his testimony and say, I regret what I've done, but I can't undo it, and tell how the Lord had changed them. Those men were changed. What did the angel say on earth? Peace. Goodwill toward men. And because Christ came into the world and went to the cross, we can know true peace. Peace in our hearts. Peace towards others. What are you going to sing this Christmas? Can you sing the songs of Zion? Let's turn to him.